All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 20. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10 as we continue to go verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings. As you can see, we're almost about to wrap it up soon, and then we'll move right into the book of Acts. And as you know, on Wednesdays, we're in the Old Testament. And we're in the book of Deuteronomy, just making our way through the Word of God. And Father, thank you so much that you have given us your Word to teach us, to lead us, to guide us. And so, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us this morning the truths of your Word. And Lord, so we can walk with you and walk in your steps. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 20, looking at verses 1 through 10, the title of this message is Left Behind. Left Behind. Now, left behind is something we do at the beginning of every new year. We leave behind the previous year. We leave behind the hurts and the heartaches and the hassles. Oh, but we also leave behind the successes as well. And in these verses, we're looking at Jesus is going to leave behind his grave clothes and how significant this will be as it applies to our lives today. Look what it says there in verse 1. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Now, John, the author, said that it was on the first day of the week that Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. The first thing I would like to bring to your attention is that this incident happened on the first day of the week. Now, the way that the Greek language translates this, it translates this first day of the week as the first day in between the two Sabbaths, which happens to be on Sunday. Sunday will forever after be the day that believers set aside to celebrate the Lord's resurrection and meet together, according to Acts 20 and verse 7 and 1 Corinthians 16 verse 2. It also became known as the Lord's Day, according to Revelation 1 and verse 10. I just have to say that this is the day that it has been forever. The apostles practiced meeting on Sunday, and as well as the early church. It's not something you have some people, well, Constantine back in 313. Stop it. Stop it. And there are people who try to put a guilt trip on you and say, you need to be worshiping on the Sabbath. Cut it out. Christianity is not Judaism plus Jesus. Please get that in mind, and please tell them that. Well, you got to keep the Sabbath and keep the feast days and keep the, and all that kind of, stop it. Christianity is not Judaism plus Jesus. And so they met on the first day of the week. And John tells us that Mary came to the tomb early while it was still dark. However, Mark 16 verses 1 and 2 says that the women came early on the first day of the week when the sun had risen. So did they come while it was still dark, or did they come when the sun had risen? So is this a contradiction? Of course not. It is very obvious that Mary Magdalene went ahead and got to the tomb first while it was still dark because of her great love for Jesus. And the other women came a little later on when the sun had risen. So there is no contradiction at all. Even in verse 2, when Mary went back and told the other disciples that the tomb was empty, she said, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So it is obvious that it is light out, and the other women had come to the tomb and joined Mary by this time. And what I find amazing is how Mary Magdalene was the last one at the cross and also the first one at the tomb. And she will be the first one who will see the resurrected Lord. Oh, let me just encourage you. The same is true in our lives. In Proverbs 8 and verse 17, in the Old King James, it reads like this. I love them that love me, and they that seek me early, diligently, shall find me. Mary went looking for the Lord early, and she would find him. So if you want the Lord to show up in your life during the day, you need to seek him early. Why? Oh, there's something about the early morning. Oh, I know many of you here, well, I'm not an early person, you know. Oh, there's something about the early morning. Oh, David understood this in Psalm 5 and verse 3. He says, O Lord, in the morning do I direct my prayer, and unto thee do I look up. David sought God early, and he was known as a man after God's own heart. Oh, even Jesus practiced this in Mark 1:35, which says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Oh, Jesus practiced this. What is a long while before daylight? I don't know what that was. That 2 a.m.? I don't know. A long while before daylight. And he went out to a solitary place, and there he prayed. There's a quietness, there's a peace, there's a tranquility, a stillness about the early morning that we see. When were the Israelites told to collect the manna? Oh, it was early in the morning. It says when the sun had risen, it was too late. But it's something about the early morning. Some of you are here, you're not an early morning person, but you need to become one. Because if you want the Lord to show up in your day, oh, I would suggest to you that you begin to seek the Lord early, early. And so here's Mary Magdalene. She was seeking Jesus early on the first day of the week. So when she got to the tomb, verse 1 goes on to say that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. We know that this was a total shock for her, and by this time the other women to see. We know that they were surprised because verse 2 says this. It says, then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Now, Mary Magdalene was so shocked that someone removed this heavy stone that she took off and ran to tell the other disciples that the stone was rolled away and that Jesus wasn't inside. We know from Matthew chapter 28 in verses 1 through 6 that there was an earthquake and an angel rolled the stone away and sat on it. Oh, because it was dark, Mary Magdalene didn't see this angel. And as she saw the stone rolled away and the body of Jesus wasn't inside, she took off running to tell the other disciples, leaving the rest of the women behind. And when the sun had risen, this angel talks to these other women that were left at the tomb. Now, there is a constant Greek preposition, pros, that's placed before Simon Peter's name that leads most scholars to conclude that Mary had to search for Simon Peter because maybe after he denied the Lord 3 times, he separated himself from the rest of the disciples, feeling defeated and feeling unworthy to be with them. Oh, maybe this is what you have been doing lately, because maybe you have denied the Lord or not spoke up for him. And you feel like a failure. You feel unworthy to come to church. Condemnation has set in your heart, and Satan has been whispering in your ears to separate yourself from church or anyone associated with church. Oh, I'm here to tell you. I'm here to say that Jesus still loves you, and he wants to forgive you and restore you like he's going to do with Peter in chapter 21. Because separating yourself from church and the people of God will just make things worse. Because now Satan will use your isolation to permanently keep you from church and the people of God. I've talked to many people who say, yeah, I used to go to church. Used to. And because of some circumstances, something has happened in their life. And Satan whispered in their ears and said, separate yourself from church. And then that once week and 2 weeks go by, then 3 weeks go by, the next thing you know, Satan said, why even go back at all? And you find these people and you say, yeah, I used to do that church thing. And so no matter what you have done, God still rolls stones away to set people free. No matter how heavy it is, no matter what your circumstances look like, he can cause earthquakes in your life to shake things up and to roll away the stone from your life and let you out of your tomb. Whatever it is that you're involved in, Jesus is still rolling stones away, setting people free, letting people out of the dead situation that they find themselves in. Like we see in these verses here. Oh, I just have to say this to us. Please understand that the angel rolled away the stone. Oh, it wasn't to let Jesus out. It was to let these women in. You understand that no stone could have kept Jesus in that tomb. You realize that, don't you? So the angel rolling away the stone wasn't to let Jesus out. It was to let these women in. And look, I want you to see something that is amazing. So after Mary found Peter and told John, the author of this book, verses 3-5 says this. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they ran together and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he stooping down and looking in and saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. In these verses, we see what can happen to us if we listen to the whispers of Satan to isolate ourselves from other believers. It says in verse 3 that Peter went out when he heard this news from Mary, and so did the other disciple, referring to John, to go to the tomb. In verse 4, John starts off by saying that they ran together, and then John puts in the text that he outran Peter to get to the tomb first. Now, why would John say this, that he outran Peter? Was he bragging about his blazing speed? Or was he saying that Peter lost a step? Oh, no. Let me suggest to you that Peter slowed down the closer he got to the tomb, possibly saying in his heart, how can I face the Lord after I denied him 3 times that I even knew him? You keep in mind that Peter doesn't get restored until chapter 21. He's still left with this. The last time he faced the Lord, he had denied 3 times that he even knew him. And with that thought in mind, I believe Peter slowed down. And maybe you've been wrestling with these thoughts lately. Saturday night, you're saying, okay, I'm going to start going back to church regularly. And as Sunday arrives, you slow down and said, how can I go to church when I haven't been in such a long time? Everyone will be looking at me and asking me where I've been. And some people have even gotten in their car and drove towards the church and slowed down and turned around and went back home. Don't listen to the lies of Satan that cause you to slow down and not come. Oh, there are some of you here who have slowed down in your walk with God. You're once pursuing God and you're pursuing his face and seeking the word. Every time the doors of the church were open, you were there at some study and you were really going for it. And all of a sudden things in life have happened. And all of a sudden now you have slowed down in your walk with the Lord in your pursuit of God. Well, I've seen many people find themselves in this condition. And I'm here to tell you to keep pressing. Because look at Peter, even though he slowed down, he didn't turn around. He still came to the tomb. Verse 5 says that when John came to the tomb, he didn't immediately go in, but he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. One scholar suggests that John was in awe of the sacred place that the body of Jesus once laid. See, John teaches us a valuable lesson. Let us not be so quick to rush or to jump into things, but to stoop down and look into the situation and ponder what the best options can be. In other words, don't be so quick to jump into relationships, to rush into business partnerships and to rush into making some deals, to stop, stoop down, ponder and consider before you jump in. Oh, I'm here to tell you, I've never regretted times I waited. Times I pondered and considered things, but I've always regretted. Times I've rushed into things. And I believe that there's some of you here about to rush into something. I don't know whether it's rushing to some marriage, rushing to some relationship, rushing to taking some job that you didn't pray about, but all because it promises more dollar signs, you're about to rush into it. And I'm here to tell you, I've never, ever regretted times I waited. I've always regretted times I rushed into things. And they're like, oh, you got to make this decision right now because they got somebody else they're looking at. So you better make it right now. And you're like, oh, I'm here to tell you, don't do it. Don't do it. I don't know who it is the Lord's talking to. Don't do it. Don't rush into things. John teaches us that there's times by which to wait, to ponder, to consider things before we jump right into them. And I'm telling you, I have never regretted times I waited. I've always regretted times I've rushed into things. Now we know, all know that everyone doesn't have the same temperament, because look at what Peter does in verses 6-8. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. Now, when Simon Peter finally came to the tomb, he just went straight in. That's just how he is. And he saw the linen clothes lying there. Jesus left his grave clothes behind. Those clothes that he was wrapped in, according to John chapter 19 and verse 40, he left them behind. And I believe that there are some grave clothes associated with our old life that many of you are still wearing to try to fit into the world around us. But we have to understand what Romans 6:4 says, that we have been raised or resurrected with Christ. So if this is the case, then we need to leave behind our grave clothes like Jesus did. Remember, your grave clothes are your life before Christ. It reminds me of blind Bartimaeus. You remember him in Mark chapter 10 and verse 50. When Jesus called him, it says, and throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Bartimaeus knew that once he came to Jesus, all of his needs would be taken care of. So this is why he threw aside his garment. He left it behind because he knew that he would not need to beg any longer. He understood what Paul would later say in Philippians 4 and verse 19, that God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. So Bartimaeus left his garment behind, and Jesus left his grave clothes behind. Oh, the question that you need to ponder is, what do you need to leave behind? Grave clothes are tight. They're restrictive. Oh, you remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? In John 11 verse 44, is not on the screen for you note takers. Notice what it says. It said that Lazarus came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped. And Jesus says, loose him and let him go. Oh, see, grave clothes are tight. They restrict, they bind our hands and feet. They bind us and keep us from walking with the Lord. See, many people say Christianity, oh, you know, I'm not into that, because Christianity is very restrictive. You can't do this, you can't do that, and it's just the opposite. Your grave clothes is what's restrictive. Your life before Christ, you're like Lazarus. You're coming out with grave clothes on, and you're unable to walk with God. And you wonder why. I can't walk freely for the Lord, because you still have grave clothes on that you refuse to leave behind. You got those grave clothes on so you can walk around with the walking dead. And you're there, and you got those grave, and it said Lazarus came out bound hand and feet, meaning that they were wrapped them almost like mummies. And it said Jesus left that behind. Some of you haven't left yours behind, and you wonder why you're having a tough time walking with God, because you're trying to walk with grave clothes on. This is why Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Jesus came to loose you and let you go and set you free. And all the time you thinking that Christianity is the one that's binding, the one that's restrictive. No, no, it's your old life that's that way. Jesus came to set us free. And it's amazing how many people call themselves Christians, but they still walking around with grave clothes on and haven't left those things behind. Oh, I see this all the time in people's lives. And Jesus came to set folks free. He wants to set you free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Satan whispers and says, no, your old life, you were free then. No, you weren't. You were walking around in grave clothes and you didn't know any better. All you know is that everybody else is walking around in grave clothes because you're walking around with the walking dead. And they got grave clothes on just like you. So you didn't think anything different. But now that you've been set free, why is it that we are now going to rewrap ourselves with grave clothes on to try to fit in to this world? Are you kidding me? fit into this world? You think I want to do what this world is doing? It's a mess out there. Oh, I'd rather be free in Christ Jesus. Verse 7 says that the handkerchief that had been wrapped around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. This is a minor detail, but John tells us that the handkerchief wrapped around the head of Jesus and the linen clothes were folded nicely, showing that Jesus took his time to fold these pieces and leave the tomb in an orderly condition. Jesus took his time, folded, and left in an orderly condition. Oh, I'm sure that this put their hearts at ease because they thought that grave robbers had stolen the body, which was very common at this time. But they would never leave these tombs in such an orderly way as Jesus did here. Verse 8 says that the other disciple, John, finally joins Peter on the inside of the tomb, and he saw and believed. Oh, in verse 6, when it says that Simon Peter went into the tomb and he saw the linen clothes, the Greek word for saw in that verse, in verse 6, is theoreo, and it means to be a spectator of, to consider. However, the Greek word for saw in verse 8 is eidos, and it means appearance or fashion or shape. So John saw eidos, the appearance of the tomb, how the linen clothes were fashioned and formed and folded, and he believed. What did John see? Oh, John saw with eyes of faith and arrived quickly at the conclusion that Jesus had been raised from the dead. And this insight of faith made him the forerunner of all of us who would be declared blessed for believing prior to seeing, like verse 29 would later say. The question you have to ask yourself is, do you have eyes like John? Eyes of faith to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. All of us who are believers today have eyes of faith like John did here. Oh, look what it says there in verses 9 and 10. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. John the author put in verse 9 to show that the disciples did not know or understand the scripture that Jesus must rise again from the dead. You have to understand that the Jews were looking for their Messiah, a conquering Messiah, a Messiah that will come and help them overthrow the Roman Empire. The Messiah that will die for the sins of mankind, a Messiah that will suffer. And they were like, oh, no, we want that conquering one. And because of their preconceived beliefs, when they read Psalm 16 verse 10, they didn't really understand what that meant. But later on, Peter would. Psalm 16:10 says, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Peter will quote this verse to show us how the scripture predicted the resurrection of Jesus Christ in Acts 2 in verses 27 to 31. And it wasn't until the Spirit of God gave them that understanding of the word of God, when the Spirit of God came upon them to give them to illuminate the truth of the word to their hearts, they didn't understand it. And so too, we need the Spirit of God to come upon us to understand the truths of the word of God. This is why David said, oh God, open up my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. David prayed before he got into the word of God because he knew that these words were not just letters on a page, that these were written by the very finger of God, and he needed God's Spirit to help him to understand the word of God. This is why many people don't understand, oh, that Bible, I don't understand. I don't read that book because I can't understand. I bet you can't. Because it takes the Spirit of God to illuminate the truth of God to our hearts. And this came upon the disciples, and they were able to put together that Psalm 16 verse 10 was talking about how the resurrection of Jesus was predicted. Then verse 10 says, the disciples went away again to their own homes. How are you going to go away to your homes today? Will you go away like John did, who saw and believed? Or will you leave and go back to your home the same way you came? Going back to your life, going back to whatever it is you're involved in. Maybe with a curiosity about Christianity, but not ready to commit your life to him. Oh, let me just say, before you leave here today, let me just say and draw your attention to the fact that the tomb is still empty. And that he isn't there, that he is risen. And so you can see the evidence and refuse to accept the facts. Or, like John, you can see and believe. The beautiful thing is that the choice is yours. The choice is yours. How are you going to leave here? How are you going to go back to your homes? Many of you got, you know, your lives once you leave here. Many people think that Christianity is just, you know, I live my life the way I want to live my life, and then I throw a little church in whenever it's convenient. And that's a lot of people's Christianity, and their Christian walk consists of that. Outside of church, I do me. I watch what I want to watch. I listen to what I want to listen. I go to places I want to go to. I talk the way I talk. I do what I want to do. And then whenever I'm feeling a little, you know, sentimental, I come to church. Oh, and I'm going to tell you here, the devil is a liar if you think that's Christianity. That's not Christianity. How are you going to go home after hearing the truths of the word of God? After hearing the teaching of the word of God, are you going to go home and just continue to do you? Or are you going to go home with eyes of faith and you see that the tomb is empty and you, like John, will believe? So the question is, what happened to Mary? Because see, we start off with Mary running to tell Peter and John that the tomb was empty. What happened to Mary? Well, you got to wait until next time. Because there's a whole thing that happened to Mary that I couldn't just rush into. Let me conclude with this. Left behind. There are some grave clothes that need to be left behind, and only you know what they are. These are clothes that you're wearing to try to fit in with the other walking dead that we are walking among. And we have been raised with Christ, the Bible says, resurrected with him if you're a true believer in Jesus Christ. So we're told that we need to walk in a newness of life. So we are told we need to, I have to say it again, walk in a newness of life. When you're truly a believer in Jesus Christ, the way that you live will be a new way. The way that you walk will be a new walk. It's not, let me live my life and just add Jesus at the end of it. Like he's some punctuation that you put at the end of the sentence of your life. Oh no. We're to walk in a newness of life. And there are some things we must leave behind. There are some grave clothes we must leave behind, like Jesus did, like blind Bartimaeus did. We need to make sure we do not do what other people are doing. We need to do what Jesus did. Jesus left in an orderly way. He folded his grave clothes neatly and orderly. And he walked in a freedom. And he wants to do the same with us. Your grave clothes are restricting you. And God wants us to walk in a freedom. Are you free today? Or are you bound up with your grave clothes and you still trying to raise your hand and say, I'm free in Jesus? Are you? Look at your life. Are you free? Really? Or are you in grave clothes claiming an association with Jesus? There are some grave clothes that need to be left behind, and only you know what they are. Those grave clothes are associated with your old life, and only you know what those things are. You need to leave them behind. And there's going to be some people available to pray with you so you can leave here with your grave clothes at the altar and don't have to walk out of here restrictive, bound by your grave clothes. You can be set free, because whom the Son, Jesus Christ, sets free is free indeed. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray, God, that you would set your people free. They belong to you. They're yours. And Lord, I just pray if there's anyone here who've never surrendered their life to Jesus Christ, I pray that today will be the day of salvation for them, that they, Lord, will repent of their sin, believe you died on the cross and was buried and rose again. Your word says that they shall be saved. Do a work in people's hearts. Set your people free today in Jesus' name. Amen.